Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's up, Doc Freeze? How you doing? Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Are we sharing comments now? Can we finally see comments?
No, I don't think we can share comments. So you would have to read your comments and I'll read mine.
I see. I got already quite a good few flowing in. A bunch of people joining. Welcome, everybody.
Good. That's why I wanted to do it this way. I did it. I did something like this with Soto the other day, and it turned out great. So I was like, I want to start doing this with Mr. Blood if we can once a week. Just kind of get together and talk about what's been going on in wrestling this week. Not really like anything specific. Look at you getting gifts and shit already. just to catch up with you and just have like an open discussion as opposed to like what we usually do. Like everything is so structured when we meet, you know?
Yeah. By the way, everybody, whoever's in the chat, thank you guys for the gifts. Thank you guys so much. If you're not familiar with, Snug Wrestling, I'm actually a part of Snug's podcast. This is Edgar, the host of Snug Wrestling, the creator and founder of Snug Wrestling. Wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, you can catch us every Monday and Friday night after Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, and once a month after PLEs. But the best part is we go live on all platforms. We stream and we hit Instagram Live, YouTube Live, TikTok Live, Apple, Spotify, and you can always follow us. Snug is the host, the creator, the founder, the man, the myth, the legend, and I am honored to be a part of his panel. That panel includes myself, BT Knight, Toxic, and Tommy, led by the incomparable Edgar from Snug Wrestling. So thank you guys so much. Ask your questions. Spam the like button on this live, and let's get the fuck into this.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Blood. Yeah, welcome, everyone. Hello. If you don't know me by now, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling. And yeah, man, we have a lot of fun over on our show. I haven't done one of these introductions to my show. I feel like I got to start doing these more often. We get together on Mondays and Fridays. We talk about Raw. We talk about SmackDown. We talk a lot of shit. We have a lot of unique opinions, different perspectives, different wrestling minds coming together and talking about wrestling. So it's been we've been going strong for a good 6-7 months now.
We originally a fun fact, well, a little history. So when I got back into the wrestling content, which is what really started blowing up my channel a year ago on the week of last year's WrestleMania 40, you invited me on as a guest, and I was a guest on your podcast when it was still I'd say in its somewhat of an infancy, because you'd been at it for about a year at that point. And I was honored beyond as a guest. We hit it off so well, and you were like, well, I'll have you on any time. Well, on and off over the next mini handful of months, I'd randomly join your live streams back before TikTok tried to screw you out of your first account. And we would live stream the weekly shows, and you'd have people join in afterwards for a talk. And you would have different guests up on the TikTok live. You're the only one on camera. The rest of us are on voice. And it just kind of started there, really back in, I'd say, early November is when I really started popping in and out regularly. And then we started getting our regulars on every week, where I would join in as a guest randomly at the end, Return of the King. And then Tommy and Toxic would already be on the panel. And then BT, my good Aussie friend BT, shout out BT, was like, hey, do you think I could get on and say something? Could you introduce me to Snug? I had you talk to him, and then BT came into the fold, and then you had this brilliant idea, like, well, why don't we do like a whole panel show? Because we're the regulars who always talk every single week with you. And so we turned it into this like team effort where we're led by you and you run the whole shebang and Kate and Caboodle. And then we got to be this awesome team of panelists together, and it became that thing. And we really started going hard with that, I'd say, in January. Was when it really started for the weekly actual video live streams, and Toxic came out of his shell and got on camera for the first time, and Tommy's got new lighting, and BT's there every single week with his takes, and we have our bits and our these recurring running jokes that we've created. So it's going strong, man. I'm loving it. It's literally a highlight of my week twice a week, three times if we get a PLE. So I love every second of it. I live for wrestling. I love wrestling. I breathe wrestling. And to find like-minded guys like you, especially, who are just so invested in that. I mean, look at the wall behind you, and you know, who do this in a way to really build the wrestling community positively, is why I was always so excited to link up with you, because you know, you have the toxic IWC, the internet wrestling community. And then you have guys like you who are like, well, let's break it down, but let's break it down in a way that's fun and not antagonistic and not overly critical, but let's try to find out why. And you know, it's a nice change of pace from when you see other people do wrestling content. And you know, I love being a part of it. It's great. As a former professional wrestler, and I say it all the time. And that's a running bit. I'm a former professional wrestler. But for those of you who don't know, but as a former pro, I can tell you that one thing pro wrestlers hate is when we're talking to people who like quote unquote wrestling. And remember, the worst wrestling fans, the only people who hate wrestling the most are wrestling fans, right? And it's the old diatribe of Star Wars. Only people who hate Star Wars more than anything else are Star Wars fans. You know, so when you have someone like you who genuinely respects the business, goes out of their way to really read the reports, understand the behind the scenes news, discern the dirt sheets from what's actually shooting real and true. That's why I've always respected your mentality on pro wrestling, because your mentality doesn't come from that. It's just a fanboy. It comes from someone who looks at this and goes, I want to break this down from production to post to talks to in-ring to after to you have such a great acute attention to detail for this stuff, and that's so fucking refreshing. Wait, so that's why I respect the hell out of you.
You think I'm cute? Ah, oh, thanks, Mr. Boyd.
I said acute. Oh, acute. Oh, okay, acute. Okay. But no, I respect the hell out of you tremendously, because to answer the question from Doc Freeze, homeboy, Doc Freeze, is the talk about WWE alone, or is it about AEW and TNA also? I believe we're getting into all three at some point or another based on what Snug had in mind. So, we're not one of those wrestling, channels that hates on other wrestling promotions, that we're not just WWE centric. We do mainly only go over WWE, but we're the type of fans that understand that competition is healthy. And the industry is not what it is without AEW existing, or TNA, or New Japan, so on and so forth. So we're going to get into all of that. So hang with us, and it's going to be a fun ride, guys. I'm going to take it over, or I'm going to pass it over to the leader of tonight, Mr. Snug, Edgar from Snug Wrestling.
Yeah, that's a good question. I used to just watch AEW every Wednesday, and lately, because of what we've been doing, just reviewing Raw and SmackDown, that's pretty much that's been keeping me busy and away from AEW lately. But now it's not by choice. I don't choose not to watch AEW. It's just with the recording and the editing, and then you got to make reels and you got to do all these things to promote the show, that come Wednesdays, like, I don't really have time to watch AEW. But TNA, I was actually looking into that today, because I want to start watching TNA because it's on Thursdays.
Right.
And I think I have some time to do that on Thursdays. But also, I want to get into AAA as well. I was looking into seeing how I can watch their pay-per-view this weekend, May 31st, because I want to see how that match turns out with Hijo del Vikingo and Chad Gable.
That's going to be a great match.
Yeah, shout out to AR15, says your podcast is fire. Thank you. Shout out to BMG. Thank you for the follow. And also Brent G. I'm curious to see how all that is going to turn out with Hijo del Vikingo. But I guess AAA doesn't air their shows in the United States.
Doc Free says it's possibly going to be on Peacock, so we'll have to look into that.
AAA?
Well, it is now officially acquired by WWE, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're squeezing it onto Peacock. Don't forget, you know, that it's a full acquisition. Well, so it's going to be WWE TV. It's going to be WWE Presents AAA. So, we'll have to look into that, but I think you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and we looked at that lineup from, you know, just right before Saturday night's main event, and we were looking all the way up till SummerSlam. It is a packed spring and summer, man. Yeah. We're going to be up to our fucking eyeballs in content. And when they, if AAA is too good to miss, you know what I'm saying? We're going to be drowning in fucking content. Not a complaint, but man, it's what a great time to be a wrestling fan.
I'm more interested in AAA now than ever. I mean, I was interested in AAA before when, you know, you had guys like Kenny Omega, or even Dolph Ziggler, who was wrestling in AAA. But now that they're officially a part of WWE, I'm more interested in it. And also, I'm seeing more of it pop up on my timelines, on my For You page. Like today, I saw Alberto Del Rio shoot an angle in Mexico in a TV studio where he beat up Vikingo's dad. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that yet. I'm sure it'll come across because my For You page is in a most positive way littered with wrestling content. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll come across eventually. Most of the stuff I get that's not WWE is straight AEW or TNA generally. And I do love New Japan. So I get a lot of like New Japan stuff, Tokyo Dome clips, throwbacks, things like that. So,
yeah,
but I'm sure I'll be getting AAA shit here probably the next day or two. I wouldn't be surprised. The more viral that goes, it'll hit my For You page.
Yeah, so that angle that they did with that Alberto Del Rio did today, it was pretty good. I mean, Alberto Del Rio already has a bad rep of, you know, being
well earned.
Yeah, right.
Piece of shit.
And then you see him beat up like this older guy on a TV set, and he's just like, you know, fuck this guy. And for some, it felt so real, this angle did. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I want to watch this match now. Like, I'm interested. But I don't know. There's something about those angles that they do in Spanish that just hits differently.
I would imagine for you, because you're also Spanish, correct? You're Mexican?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing I think is beautiful about WWE in the last many years is since Triple H and Nick Khan have really kind of taken over things, mm-hmm. even before the acquisition by Ari Emanuel when it merged and became TKO, when Vince had already been pushed out the first time and Nick Khan and Triple H really came over, Nick Khan and Triple H were already for several years trying so hard to make WWE as diverse as possible. Triple H at one point, remember, wanted to do NXT UK, NXT Ireland, NXT Japan, NXT Cambodia. He was trying to branch out to the whole world. He wanted as many different cultures involved in WWE as possible. I mean, he's the main reason all those Japanese stars signed. He's the one who commissioned the deal between Shinsuke Nakamura with Asuka. You know, he's the one who did those acquisitions, you know, because he's not, he is the type of guy who was born and bred, but homegrown in the industry of mainstream Western style professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. However, he's not like Vince, where Vince wanted to enclose and shut everyone else off. Triple H is like, nah, we got to open the doors, man. They don't need to be well known somewhere else or this larger than life circus freak style looking performer. Like they can be an AJ Styles. Let's not forget the fact that when AJ Styles debuted at the Royal Rumble many years ago, 2015 or 16 Royal Rumble, literally the pop he got when he got backstage, Vince McMahon told him that it was a fluke that they react that way. Cause Vince apparently did not know who AJ fucking Styles was. At one point, TNA was pretty serious competition for them in the mid to late noughties.
Yeah, so like 2000, he didn't think the people would pop for AJ.
Exactly. Like 2005 to 2009, AJ Styles was probably the biggest star in Western professional wrestling outside of John Cena in WWE. He was probably the most popular guy next to even when Jeff Hardy went over there for his run. So to sit there and say that, oh, no, he didn't know who AJ was, I call bullshit. I think Vince's ego won't let him admit that he paid attention to TNA. Because if you're a smart businessman, you've got to pay attention to your competition. And now look, TNA is now hand in hand with WWE in this great fucking partnership deal they got going on. Yeah. And we just crowned a WWE talent, the first ever WWE star while working under contract with WWE to win the TNA championship. That is fucking insane. Vince McMahon could and would never.
Oh, hell no. This shit would never happen. It's funny, too, because I was just thinking about this today. Like, we probably wouldn't be seeing a lot of these people that we're seeing today in the WWE if Vince McMahon was still around. Like, people like Jacob Fatu.
No.
People like Jeff Cobb. You no. know? But yeah, man, I've never watched TNA, dude. I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for it ever since I can remember. I just never had time. I just was never interested. But now.
It was easy for me because I live in Melbourne, Florida, for those of you who don't know. I live 40 minutes from Universal Studios, where TNA used to have its regular scheduled recordings. Universal Studios was its actual home base for years. And I went to every single weekly show in person. I've had autographs. I've met the Dudley Boys, AJ Styles, Ric Flair. I wrestled Ric Flair once when I was a wrestler myself. I've met Jeff Hardy. I met the Young Bucks, Motor City Machine Gun several times. I have to find it sometime. It's in one of these boxes, in one of these folders, an actual TNA, match card thing with all of their autographs on it, on one giant piece of paper. Because for my 17th birthday, I got to go in the ring and they sang me happy birthday live on national television because our school were guests for that show. And I have pictures that I will show you of me on the turnbuckle doing this for my 17th birthday in front of a whole crowd live on TNA when it was still called Impact Wrestling after they had changed it. And I got autographs from everybody around the ring. I had AJ Styles was standing outside of the ring like this, looking up at me while I was getting happy birthday sang to me. I have been within 3 feet of the man and then shaking his hand. So like TNA was kind of so personal to me because it was the closest wrestling show for me, but it was the first ever, ever in-person live wrestling event I had ever attended was TNA. So it holds a special place in my heart. First ever time I went, Christy Hemme. I don't know if you remember Christy Hemme, professional wrestling diva Christy Hemme. She used to be a WWE girl. Went over to TNA. She got knocked into the crowd over the barricade and landed in mine and my brother's lap when we were 13 years old.
What was her name
old.
In WWE?
Christy Hemme, yeah. So,
damn it, I remember.
But it was one of the coolest moments ever. I've also had Ric Flair bloodied in a match against Sting. Literally get smacked into my shoulder in the security barricade while he's bleeding, lean over, and then literally when he gets forearmed on the back by Sting, he looks up at me and my brother and he goes, oh, he rolls his eyes and goes, oh, this guy, like he wouldn't let him go. And then he winked at my brother and then turned around and then took another work punch. Like TNA was so great. It was inclusive. You felt like you were in the ring. Because the building is so small, it only sat like 500 people, but it felt like a giant house show, but it was so intimate. And the heels came down one ramp, the baby faces came down another ramp. And it was just such a magical time. And now AEW has a slot at Universal when they film there sometimes. I don't know if TNA ever goes back there, if they still do, but I know you've never seen it. And sorry about the long diatribe, but man, like, that was quintessential pro wrestling. I remember getting so excited to have my week filled with wrestling in middle school and high school, man. Like Sunday night pay-per-view, Monday night Raw, TNA would come on and sometimes on a Tuesday, then they move it to a Thursday, but it'd be Tuesday. Old NXT game show NXT on Wednesday. Thursday was main event. Friday night SmackDown. So it was like, it was all you could want. Yeah. Constant mainstream Western TV. On broadcast network TV.
I almost like kick myself in the butt sometimes because I'm like, man, like thinking back of all the names that were there in the early 2000s and stuff, like, man, I missed out on some good shit in TNA during that time. But I'm kind of tempted to pay the $9.99 a month or whatever it is, whatever it costs to watch TNA live now, especially now with this partnership. Now that they're involved with the WWE, I'm more interested. And now that we got Trick Williams as the TNA champion, but you, Mr. Blood, like as a huge TNA fan, and you know, you watched it, you pretty much, you experienced it firsthand. What are your thoughts about having a WWE guy be a TNA world champion?
Well, real quick before I answer that, everybody do me a favor for like 20 seconds. I want you to spam the like button. Let's get more people watching this stream. Spam the like button for Mr. Blood. 20 seconds. Let's go. Come on. I know you're in here. I know you can see me. Y'all do it for me all the time on these lives. Don't let me down. Go, go, spam it, spam it, spam it, spam it. There you go. Come on, spam it. There you go. Keep going. Fuck yeah. Let's go. Come on. Do it for the one time. Do it for the one time. Come on. You got 10 seconds left. Let's do this shit. Spam that shit. Spam it for snugs. Spam it for blood. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There you go. Four letters. One word. Uh-huh. No, yeet. And to answer the real Greg B, Vince wanted to keep all the money to himself so he would never entertain that kind of collaboration. That's what happens when you try to monopolize wrestling. You get greedy. But to answer your question, Snug, how do I feel about Trick Williams, a WWE wrestler in 2025, being the head champion of a rival, former rival promotion? I think it's awesome. It shows how far wrestling has progressed without Vince McMahon being involved in it. And I don't want to hearken to say that Vince McMahon slowed wrestling down, but he really did. It was his inability to adapt and evolve to the changing of times where wrestling fans wanted so much inclusivity that the idea of this ever happening would never have happened. The only time Vince ever allowed TNA to even come across his TV was when he let Mickie James come in the Royal Rumble when she was a Knockout Women's Champion when he was still there. That's the only time, okay? And he gave her a decent showing, but it comes down to the fact that when you look at 2025, if we were to wind the clock back 10 years to 2015, this would have been laughed out of their creative room. Vince would have been, that's funny shit. TNA. It would have been like the J. Jonah Jameson meme from Spider-Man. You serious? Like, it would have been that, you know? Yeah. Like, it was so, in the words of the real Greg B, the wrestling community was stagnated. You know, it was incredibly stagnant because Vince monopolized so bad that the idea of ever working with another company created, in my opinion, Vince is just as responsible for wrestling tribalism if you want my true answer of who I think is responsible directly at fault for wrestling tribalism, it's Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon. Because of the Monday Night Wars, you had to pick sides, the style of wrestling you wanted. And then I would also say you could blame Paul Heyman because you wanted the Saturday morning shit that WWE had, the more adult grown, but sloppily, crazily booked bigger star look feel that WCW had. Or you wanted the extreme, completely out of the box, gutter alley, violent backyard style that ECW made famous, that extreme crazy style. And you wound up having to pick. And yes, Vince Russo is just as responsible. Thank you, the real Greg. And now we come to a time where at one point in the mid 2000s, early 2000s, you had to pick. Are you a WWE guy? Or are you a TNA guy? That's what it was. When WCW folded, it was, are you WWE? Are you TNA? And speaking to someone who's been to those live TNA events hundreds of times, bro, those fans shit all over WWE. When you're in line waiting to go in, it's just, I remember the one time I talked to a lady who bullshitted me and told me that she had Batista's phone number and had me talk to some guy on the phone who sounded kind of like Batista. And, I had never seen Abyss before. And I don't know if you know who Abyss is from TNA. If you remember Abyss, the guy who had the long hair, leather jacket, crazy, manic. And I said, oh, so he's like Kane in WWE. She turned around at me with the ugliest look on her face and just said, Kane wishes he was Abyss.
Oh.
And I was like,
damn,
Abyss is so much more hardcore than Kane. And I said, well, who came first? She goes, well, Kane, because WWE's older. I said, so Abyss is inspired off of Kane. So, you know, like it's one of those things
more like a mixture of like Kane and Mankind, wasn't it?
It was really it was beautiful way to put it. It was like Kane slash Mick Foley's Mankind put together. Yes. Yeah. And it was just like the tribalism was so bad that you couldn't fathom it. Now we have this whole forbidden door, you know, the everything that's open now. And I think this is the healthiest, in my opinion, this might be the healthiest period in time for professional wrestling. Gone are the territory days. Gone is the monopolization. Gone is the we don't pay attention to any company outside of this company. And it's because TNA did it too. WWE did it. AEW did it. New Japan did it. If it was not our canon stories, no other promotion in the planet existed. That's why every promotion has their own world championship. Because to them, they go, no, you're the world champion. Yeah, but what about WWE? They have a world champion. No. It doesn't matter what that company has. This is the world title because it's got our company's name on it. And that's what it always was. So what's cool now is that we've gotten to a point where Triple H, Nick Khan, and, you know, whoever's running TNA now, they really need to bring back Scott D'Amore. But it's gotten to the point where it's been realized, hey, you know what? If we want to go into the future, if we want to really breed this homegrown talent, make new stars, put professional wrestling all over the map, not just on this one, but every map, we've got to work together. We have to raise each other up. We've got to collaborate. We've got to build. And there is no better way, in my opinion, to get eyes on that fucking TNA World Championship than having it on the biggest wrestling promotion brand in the world. And I don't think in any way, shape, or form it's an insult that an NXT star is holding another promotion's title, because that NXT star is probably more popular than most of the people in TNA. So it's also the fact that NXT has more viewers than TNA. So if you're trying to get that title in front of as many eyes as possible, you put it on the biggest platform possible, which is the biggest company in the world for professional wrestling. It's smart. It's intelligent. Trick Williams is going to treat it with respect. You're also showing that WWE respects that championship so much that they want one of their top young talents to hold it for the world to see. That tells them how serious they think that championship is. That they're, because they could have just pulled a Medusa and dropped it in a trash bin live on TV, but no, they're straight up going, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a nice title.
Yeah.
What if one of our stars holds it? We want one of our stars to hold it, and your guys are going to compete for it on our PLEs, on our big specials, on our TV shows, and then he's going to cross over and do it on yours too. It's just, to me, it's just such dope. A healthy way to have pro wrestling. It's healthy. And the industry fucking needs it.
Yeah, it's dope. It's
sorry for the rant, but I'm very passionate about it because I never thought I'd see the day. Yeah. I never thought I'd see this. We used to dream when we were kids about cross promotions, invasions, you know, not the one that failed and sucked, but like we used to dream about this shit. What ifs? What if AJ Styles versus John Cena? And we got that. But what if John Cena went to TNA and did it? Oh shit, AJ Styles came over and did it over here. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I thought it was dope. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because a lot of people were shitting on it. Especially after what happened at WrestleMania with Joe Hendry. And then, you know, Joe Hendry gets beat by a WWE guy, and they put the TNA championship on a WWE guy. But I saw things more in like the positive way. I just want to give a quick shout out to Ragnar. What's up, Ragnar? And also to the No-So. What's up? What's going on? What's up,
Ryan? Shout out to Toxic as well, one of our fellow panelists. Blood, you should do a story time about you getting sung Happy Birthday TNA. You know what? That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to bring this up, because, yeah, I was interested to see what you were going to say about this. Also, like, Trick Williams went from being NXT champion, which is still WWE's developmental, and now he's holding the main title for TNA, which is, like, to me, though, there's different levels to that. I mean, yes, it's... The NXT title is the main title for NXT, but this is a world championship, you can still say.
I would say the TNA title is bigger than the NXT championship for sure. TNA, right? is a 25 plus year promotion, or 22 year plus promotion. And on top of that, it's the main title for who was at one point the second largest professional wrestling promotion in the West. It was at one point. AEW is now the second, but TNA is still the third largest wrestling promotion in this country. That's a massive deal. I don't care who you are, because there's still another 200 promotions in this country. Mm-hmm. Number three, that's a man. If I'm Trick Williams, I'm on cloud nine, because that's a bit. I don't care who you can try to denounce it all you want. Oh, it's disrespectful. Oh, shit all over it. Joe Hendry went on Busted Open Radio literally after the Mania match. And he said, I don't know why they're mad about it. I thought it was great exposure. My job is to make this title as prestigious as I can, to make it seen as much as I can. And if that means I got to go out there and lose to someone of the caliber of Randy Orton, why would I be insulted by that? It's Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I was one of the people who was against the fact that he lost. And I even said that. And I admit now that I'm wrong after hearing him talk. But like, I'm sorry. The TNA World Championship, World Championship, TNA has been around since before most of the people in the chat, most people, hell, TNA is older than any of the other three guys on our panel. Okay. That means something. It's a part of wrestling history. Okay. They have a Hall of Fame too. It's important. Mm-hmm. Trick Williams scored on that one. You can cry me a river. If you want to blubber like a whale, cry me a river and use it to swim back to the ocean and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually, when all this was happening after WrestleMania, I jumped on, I'm not gonna say who's live because I'm not trying to start no drama, but they were talking about how Joe Hendry got buried, how, you know, the WWE is shitting all over TNA because of how they did Joe Hendry, and I was like, you guys, like, why are we still talking about this? Joe Hendry literally said it's all good, like, he was happy to do it. It helped him. He was introduced to the biggest show on
he's fucking ever wrestling. Been in.
Yeah. And what everyone got on me, and they were like, well, he's under contract. He has to say that. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think
no, he's going to
say? Like,
he's going to say the truth. The truth for him is that, hey, he got to go out there and perform as a world champion with one of the biggest stars of all time, in front of a sold out arena at the largest wrestling show in the world, in history, record breaking. Why would he complain that he had to put over Randy Orton? Who's going to bitch and cry that you got to put over Randy fucking Orton? Losing a Randy, that's an honor.
Right.
That's an honor.
WrestleMania. Yeah.
Dude. WrestleMania, bro. And he got to go to WrestleMania and perform while under contract with another company. Do you have any idea how many guys used to jump ship to WCW or back to WWE while without even telling the office that they were skipping out on their contract? All the time. He got to walk in the front door. And also, it did him wonders because apparently a bunch of people backstage at WWE, higher ups, very big higher ups, like him a lot. So that means that if he leaves TNA and goes to WWE at some point, he's going to have some seriously good fucking, good heat backstage. He's going to be very sought after.
Well, I recently learned that, Joe Hendry's contract with TNA is up in November. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking when I first heard that he lost a TNA title, I was like, okay, maybe it's because they're going to sign him to the WWE and possibly put him in the main roster, but there's still some time. There's still what, 5 months until November. So yeah. I wonder if that has anything to do with WWE wanting to sign.
It's possible. You know, the only thing I wonder sometimes is if TNA feels slighted because some of their stars are going over, like Jordan Grace, and you know, if Joe Hendry, but if you have a working relationship, a multi-year working relationship, they can still come back over and work on your show. They're just under contract with another show, but it's still pre-built stars that don't have to be rebuilt back up. Your audience already knows them. It's going to pop your crowd, spike your ratings. If you're trading stars back and forth, there's no harm. And you know, eventually, and I guarantee you, at some point, we're going to see the big main guys pop over at TNA. I know it. Cody Rhodes is the first guy that comes to mind when I think of the first person who's going to cross over to TNA. I feel it. You know, Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler, a homegrown OVW and then WWE talent, was the world champion on TNA TV not too fucking long ago. And he was a 20-year vet in the WWE. I guarantee you, he's going to cross back over into NXT. There's nothing wrong with it. This is a good thing. The only people who hate this are the internet wrestling community people who are, and it's true. They're the people who cry and piss and moan about everything that's not booked the way they want, doesn't go the way they hoped and dreamed it would be because they overexpect. And they're mad that two companies, like we wanted companies to stop fighting forever. Now you're mad that they're getting along. I would say that, tell me when I'm telling lies. Yeah. I would say that at that point, I don't think you're a wrestling fan. I think you're a fan of bitching.
Oh shit. That's hilarious. Yeah, no, that's true. And they could also do that thing that they did with, AAA when, they announced the partnership. They said that there's a number of AAA names that are getting these new contracts, not WWE contracts, but like the WWE, absorb the AAA contracts. Yeah, like, so
from what I've read is that I guess WWE is going to be taking all the contracts that are already pre-existing and they're going to be reworking them. So they're going to be like adding in the 90-day non-compete clauses. They're going to be adding in probably more money. And keep in mind, not a lot of companies have guaranteed deals. WWE has guaranteed deals on their contracts. So they're also probably restructuring their money. Hey, this is your downside guarantee. By the way, we're working in your merch into your deal when we start producing your merch on shop.com. You know, like it's a good thing for these guys. Yes. All of them. I mean, these are going to be the biggest contracts they've ever fucking had.
So these names that the WWE absorbed the contracts are like Alberto del Rio and like Hijo del Vikingo, Hijo del I forgot the other people. But anyway, these people, they can be used on NXT pretty much whenever they want, right? So
I would imagine, yeah, it's all WWE adjacent now. They can put them wherever the fuck they want. They can slap them on Saturday Night Main Event.
Yeah, so I mean, they could probably do the same thing with TNA, have like a list of TNA people just so they can bring onto their show whenever they need, you know. So yeah, man, it's just I'm pumped for this, man.
I did want to make a point before we move on. I wanted to make a point about the Joe Hendry thing and Randy Orton thing one more time. Mm-hmm. Because Toxic right here said, to me, Randy beating Hendry at Mania put both over because they were both so big and popular. I agree with that, Toxic. Also, I'd like to state the fact that I think one of the most important parts of putting Hendry against Randy is that you just showed all the people who say, well, NXT is the only people TNA ever feud with, so that must mean that WWE only sees TNA stars at the level of their developmental NXT stars. Because if that wasn't the case, they'd be on the main roster all the time. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they just shut you up because they put someone that is TNA up against one of the top guys, not of just WWE, but of the entire wrestling industry on the biggest show ever. And that right there should prove there's proof right there in the pudding. WWE does not just see TNA talent as NXT level talent. They see them as big stadium, big stage, main fucking card up against a future Hall of Famer level caliber of performers. And that to me is the biggest sign of respect that you can put on someone you have a partnership with, showcasing their top guy against one of your top guys of all top guys in that of Randy Orton. I think if you have a problem with that, then I genuinely believe you're just looking for reasons to be upset about it.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that.
Yeah. I just go back to, I'm genuinely interested in TNA now. Like I want to freaking get the membership now so I can watch weekly and see what's going on over there. But also I saw this video recently and I made a reel about it too, of their last pay-per-view, TNA's last pay-per-view. They had a pretty decent crowd, and I might be wrong for saying this, but my first initial thought was this NXT partnership, this WWE partnership looks like it's actually working for them, because they had a pretty much sold out arena for the last pay-per-view. And I mean, it looked great. So,
I mean, when you're putting on great stories, you're putting on great matches. TNA has always had great presentation. Even as compact as their arenas and their presentation is, they've always had a great presentation. And you're working with a company that's willing to promote your guys on their weekly TV and on their PLEs. I mean, how can you be mad at it? I just don't understand it. If any, this is, I'll say it one more time for the soundbite. This is the healthiest period of collaborative professional wrestling we have ever been in. Period, point blank. The WWE and TNA partnership prove that you can have a healthy working relationship with a company and it not be spiked, it not be made of malice, it be purely built on trying to build each other up, build stars for the future, and prop the wrestling, the world wrestling industry for everyone to see in a positive light. And if you have a problem with that, you're not a wrestling fan. You are a fan of bitching and complaining.
And if you got a problem with that, I got two words for you. No ye.
Wow. Also, shout out to Base M. Little Coffins was legendary. Thank you very much. The writer of that skit did a phenomenal job. I was very honored to perform it. Thank you.
Yeah, Ragnar also had a good question here. And he wanted both of our opinions, but that's opening up a whole nother can of worms. If you guys have questions, cool. If it can be related to the topic, that would be great. Right now we're talking about TNA stuff. Maria says blood is speaking facts. Shout out to Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
She's a frequent listener of the show. But yeah, speaking about TNA, dude, the other thing that I wanted to bring up before we get out of here is the report about Jordynne Grace and Stephanie Vacker.
Going up to the main roster?
Going up to the main roster. Stephanie would be going to Monday Night Raw, and Jordynne Grace would be going over to SmackDown. What do you think about that?
I saw that report, I think it was yesterday or the day before. I might have seen it on Monday's report, because I know PW Insider came across it. It was speculated that that's why they had Stephanie drop the world title to JC Jane, or the women's title to JC Jane. As far as concerned, great. These women wrestle like main roster talent. And Jordynne Grace was only ever put on NXT because they probably just wanted her to get a feel for the WWE style for a little while, because she was wrestling a TNA style. But the woman's was main roster ready over a year ago when she was still with TNA. Yeah. So I think they put her there just so she could kind of get used to the actual style that WWE wrestles. And I think that Stephanie Vacher has proven over the last month and a half or so of main roster matches she's put on, she's proven that she is more than main roster ready. And I would have said that she was main roster ready when she came over. She's become a star. She's got great fanfare. She's over with the crowd. They love her. Her finisher's over. Her presentation's over. Her whole headlock face mat stomp thing is over. Especially with Booker T, it's over. But as far as it's concerned, I love it. I love it. And I think that if Stephanie goes to Raw, it fits. You've already been having her wrestle on Raw. You've already been having her kind of have little mini altercations with the women on Raw. So keep that story thread. And I think the women's division on SmackDown sorely needs some new juice. So if we're not getting that fucking draft for another month or so, I would say you could keep Jordynne and Stephanie on TV until the draft. Let them be a nice surprise for everybody. You don't got to push them right now, because then the draft comes up. You're going to switch them right after that. You know what I'm saying? So just, I'd say keep them on NXT TV so they can close up whatever storylines are in, whatever feuds. The draft comes, then call them up. But Jordynne Grace will do phenomenally. She fits what SmackDown is, in my opinion. She fits SmackDown. And I don't know what it is. Stephanie fits Raw. There's just something about their individual respective energies that those two separate brands make sense for them. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for it. I cannot wait to see Stephanie Vacher versus fucking Bayley. Because I want to see that match. But I really, really, really want to see Jordynne Grace versus Charlotte Flair. I want to see Jordynne Grace versus Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair. That would be a good one. Because their styles so similar, powerhouses, but they can also really, really work. So I'm all for it, man. Call the girls up. We need some more fresh faces on these rosters. These rosters are looking a little too recycled at this point. And it's time for a shakeup, a change, or some, what's the old, what Vince? Inject a little lethal poison, you know? So, I'm thumbs up for it for sure. Yeah.
I think I'm more excited about Jordynne Grace going over to SmackDown. The Jordynne Grace call up has me pumped for many reasons. One of them that I haven't even thought about, Ragnar brings up here in the comments, says Nick Aldis knows Jordynne from the independent scene and also from TNA, I'm sure, right?
Say that one more time. I missed you. I'm sorry.
That Nick Aldis knows Jordynne Grace from the independent scene.
Oh, well, keep in mind, Nick Aldis is married to Mickie James, who happened to be one of the most recent in the last couple of years knockout women's champions at TNA, who also came in and popped in as a surprise on the Royal Rumble. Yeah. But also Nick Aldis, he was a wrestler up until just a couple of years ago. He literally at All In, the original inaugural All In that basically helped launch AEW. Nick Aldis wrestled Cody Rhodes on that show. Nick Aldis knows, I would say he probably knows most of the people from TNA.
Yeah. And, the roster on SmackDown, the women's roster, the women's, division over on SmackDown to me is, I enjoy that a lot better than Raw's. I know Monday Night Raw has, Rhea Ripley. But SmackDown, you have Charlotte, you have Jade, you have, yeah. Even though I'm not really the biggest Naomi fan, you know, they're pushing her. They're using her a lot in like a lot of different feuds.
I'm the opposite. Bianca. I think the Raw women's division is better personally.
Well, we'll get into that. But like just how you mentioned, that's one of my next questions that I want to ask you is, you know, you just mentioned all these potential matches that Jordynne Grace can have over on SmackDown, even with Nia Jax, like Jordynne Grace versus Nia Jax. I would love to see that.
That'd be a great match. I'd love to see her. I'd love to see the power spot, the struggle to lift her spot. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that. I was raised on that spot by John Cena.
Or even I would be down to see Jordynne Grace versus your girl, Tiffany Stratton, the one that you
absolutely love. You son of a bitch. Yeah. He knows I do not like Tiffany Stratton. I know in real life she's a sweetheart. Her character wise in TV, I can't stand her. I can't stand the character Tiffany Stratton. And I do not like her as the champion. I don't buy her as a champion. I would love to see Jordynne Grace become the champion at some point. That would be fucking cool. If she got moved over, I would love to see her maybe get it in the next year or so. Cause she's already proven she can be a women's world champion in the knockouts division. She was a great champion and she made that title look like $1 million just because her physique is serious. So she looked great with any gold around her waist.
So we talked about all these potential matches for Jordynne Grace on SmackDown, which is exciting. I'm looking forward to that. But you mentioned that Raw, the women's division on Raw, to you, it's better. And you mentioned you want to see Stephanie versus Bayley. But other than that, and Rhea Ripley, who else would you put Stephanie against? That's like,
honestly, even though I think that she needs to be built so much better and so much more. And I think they're probably in the progress of doing that now. Stephanie versus Lyra would be a great match. Stephanie versus Becky, I know she's your favorite, would be a great match. Stephanie versus Liv would be incredibly interesting. I want to see Stephanie versus a returning Asuka. That would be awesome. I mean, there's so many matchups. We got Stephanie versus Io, if I remember, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was a great fucking match. When I look at all the possibilities, I'm also just excited because this is the time of year where we're going to get random call-ups. I want to see NXT has so many talented professional wrestlers, so many talented women on their roster. I am salivating for Sol Ruka to get called up. Sol Ruka is a fucking star.
She needs to get rid of that stupid finisher first.
Nah, man, because if Randy Orton can do it, if Randy Orton can hang on to that, and Randy Orton waits for everybody to jump into that shit. They literally jump into his RKO every time. There's nothing wrong with Sol Ruka.
Not like that.
No, I'm...
There's still-
Evan Bourne fucking backflipped into it. Okay. What are you talking about? Didn't you see him when he, what was it? Backlash? When every security guard just sat there and waited one at a time for their turn to jump 5 feet in the air for it. Come on.
It takes a lot more to do the move that Sol Ruka does. You have to get the perfect timing and dive. Jump into it in this.
You have to do it for the RKO timing. Too. Nah. You have to time the RKO too. I've seen a lot of people fuck that timing up hardcore. Some of the best sells you've ever had from the RKO. I think probably the two most brutal easily got to be Chad Gable and Ricochet. Just they spike themselves. But like other than that, you see guys that literally like John Cena, when he takes it, he goes, and then he gets ready and musters the leap into it. Like they all jump into it. The Sol Ruka's is unique and it's flashy. It pops the fucking crowd. And that's like saying Solo needs to get rid of the spike because it's just a guy holding your neck. You can't overpower a guy with one arm on your throat with both your arms before he just throws his thumb into your neck. You got to suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? I understand suspending my disbelief a little bit, but when it comes to that move Sol Ruka does, it's like, fucking break my...
But if you were, but think about it, if you were like in a, if she had just planted you with her signature, you're standing up, you're dazed, you're dizzy. And she just quickly, all you see is someone back flipping into a front flip in front of you. As soon as you look up and you go, oh shit, oh, poof, it makes sense. If it's set up properly or she hits it out of nowhere off of a springboard, because if that's the case, you should say that every single springboard has to get rid of because it all requires you just standing there waiting to get hit by it.
All right, this conversation is gonna. We have to save this for another time.
Come on, every tope suicido, every outside dive, you have to stand there and wait for it. Otherwise, you just pull a Samoa Joe and walk off nonchalant.
I can debate this with you all night, and trust me, it'll take a few hours. But trust me, I will convince you that move.
You is won't. Stupid. You can't convince me. The wrestler in me won't let you.
The last thing I want to address before we get out of here is when it comes to this whole thing with Stephanie Vacker. I understand that she's super over and a lot of people like her, you know, especially Booker T with that finisher, which I don't know. Is it even a finisher?
No, it's like a signature. I literally just saw a video 3 hours ago, camera footage from the crowd of someone recording Stephanie starting it and then zooming in on Booker T over at commentary, sitting forward like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like,
he's waiting for it.
I'm like, you're married. Yeah, and you're just giving your wife evidence for that divorce.
and so am I. That's why, like, I don't really think that move is like anything special or whatever.
I mean, it's jarring to have someone like wrap their knee around your head and smack your forehead into the ground. But like, I can't just use both my hands and my head out from under your knees.
My last question to you, Mr. Blood, is like. When it comes to Stephanie Vacker, for me personally, I haven't really been that impressed by her.
Really?
I've seen a few of her matches. I've seen a few of her matches, like the one versus Io Sky. And it was just, there wasn't really anything groundbreaking. She didn't really do anything unique that really stood out to me that was like, holy shit, this girl needs to... She's the future, you know, she's amazing. Like I haven't really felt like that with Stephanie Vacker. I get that why the people like her, but just going back to what I said, I'm just more excited for the Jordynne Grace call up than the Stephanie Vacker call up. But
I mean, I like Stephanie's, for me, it's her technical wrestling ability. Mm-hmm. I think she's a fantastic mat technician. That's what captivates me because we've been over this. I'm a sucker for technical wrestling. I love it. And her bout against Io was just like, it was like candy in a candy store for me. I was like, oh, this is what I live for. Reversals, jockeying for position, arm drag, carryover, takeover, test of strength, headlock, takeover, you know, like reversal, stand up, stare off, let the crowd absorb what they just saw. You know, like I love that style of wrestling. That's why I like her. I can understand why some people are like, I don't get it. Outside of her presentation, but she has, I would say that the best thing about her presentation is phenomenal. Other than that, I think you really, 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 really have to have the patience for technical wrestling and slow build matches. And I love a good slow start to a match. I like that build to a climax in a match. And I thought her and Io pulled it off. I completely understand where you're coming from. And I think Jordan Grace is a different style. Jordan Grace is explosive. You know, She's exciting to watch. She is like opening match, get the crowd on their feet, get them to stand for the next match. But Jordan Grace has that it factor too, you know? So I completely agree. I'm not sure who I'm more excited for, but I would say I'm at least equally excited to see both of them for different reasons. For sure.
Right on, Mr. Blood. Well, hey, man, this was fun, dude. Thanks for coming on this off day for us. Hopefully we get to do this on a weekly basis. That'd be really cool. But yeah, man, I guess until tomorrow. Today's Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So hang out with us tomorrow night after SmackDown. We're going to be going over SmackDown, our weekly Friday night review, with Toxic BT and the rest of the crew.
And Tommy.
Tommy. Yep. Shout out to them. But yeah, man, thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. And remember, wherever you get your podcasts, that's going to be Spotify, Apple, you can catch us every Monday and Friday. And once a month, we'll announce ahead of time, obviously, for the PLEs, where we do reviews, shows for, and predictions. And next week, we will be doing predictions at Snug Wrestling, predictions for Money in the Bank 2025. So remember, follow at Snug Wrestling. That's S-N-U-G Wrestling over here on TikTok and on Instagram. We will catch you later.